Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. What a week. It's an extraordinary week because we remember today, Good Friday, when Jesus Christ was crucified for us 2,000 years ago. And then on Sunday at Denver Bible Church, of course, we have our sunrise service on the mountains, the foothills of the Rocky Mountains. So you're invited to come along to Denver Bible Church's sunrise service. And so this week, the resurrection, Jesus Christ, we focus about Jesus Christ, but a tragedy in California, a megachurch pastor, author of The Purpose-Driven Life, Rick Warren, says he's apologized to homosexuals for supporting California's Defense of Marriage Proposition 8. We'll talk about that. And also, it's been 100 years that Jesus Christ, the Lord, has been depicted in movies over 100 years now. And to help us talk through the news of the day, this extraordinary week, and in fact, the Lord's representation by the media, Hollywood, we have a wonderful influence on the body of Christ and the culture, Ted Baer from Movie Guide. Ted, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Bob, it's great to be with you this Good Friday, and it's a day that we can all reflect on the price that Jesus paid for our sins and also the good news. About 2 weeks ago, I was doing a little sermon at our church here where I was using some of the clips from those 136 films that have been made about Jesus. And
yeah.
The kids just love seeing these things, including the silent ones like King of Kings, which was Cecil B. DeMille's great masterpiece, that millions of people came to Christ. In fact, they say that more people came to Christ through King of Kings in the 1927 version than in proportion to the population than any film that's been made since then.
And Ted Baer, in your special report, in fact, people can get this at movieguide.org, and it's just fabulous. It's so well done. It's encouraging. It's insightful. It's got discernment. But you point out that in Cecil B. DeMille's classic, The King of Kings, he actually included a real resurrection, which many of the movies about the Lord intentionally omit or distort. He included the resurrection and shows Thomas, the Apostle Thomas, putting his finger in Jesus' hand, saying, "My Lord and my God."
It's a very poignant moment, and it always makes me just seized up with crying, with really weeping, because it's a wonderfully made movie. And Cecil B. DeMille's, of course, father was a pastor, and he did a lot of his movies with. Cecil B. DeMille had the opposite attitude of Samuel Goldwyn. Samuel Goldwyn said, "If you want to send a message, call Western Union." And DeMille said, "I can send any message as long as I entertain the audience." And the good news is that when we started, there was one movie with positive Christian content. And last year, there was 44% of the movies. And we see more movies coming out. In fact, today I'm meeting with a group that's doing a movie that about the life of Christ, the biggest budget movie that's ever been done, that Paramount's putting in $120 million in prints and advertising. So great things
are
happening.
Well, Ted Baer, you started Movie Guide way back in the 80s, right? Mid-80s?
That's right. We've been going, the ministry's been going for 30 years. Movie Guide's been going for 24 years.
Well, Christian Film and Television Commission, that's part of Movie Guide, or you're affiliated with
the
commission?
They're all one organization. This harkens back, if you remember, you're too young to remember, Bob, but the golden age of Hollywood, when Mr. Smith went to Washington, it was a wonderful life. My father was a cowboy star during those days. His name was Tex Allen and won the box office award in 1936.
Wow.
And the church was the dominant influence in those years through the Protestant Film Office and the Roman Catholic Legion of Decency. And they didn't have any power to censor. You know, censorship is prior restraint to the government. But they had the power to you know, from the bully pulpit to get most of the people in the church to choose the good and reject the bad. And studios wanted people to choose the good. So for 3 years, you had movies that were 100% G-rated. The last year of the motion picture offices, you had The Greatest Story Ever Told about Jesus, Sound of Music, and Mary Poppins. It was a great year. 3 years later, after the church collapsed, you had...
What do you mean when you said the church collapsed? You mean...
Well, they shut down their film offices, and what happened was, if you want those details, is that...
Ted, from reading your special report on Jesus Christ in the movies, I know that early on, so many of the movies were about the Lord, Christian themes, and they were shown in churches. But in Europe, it started in Paris, the edict to not allow films to be shown in church. And in fact, then the Pope at the time declared that films would not be shown any longer in churches. And they basically kicked the movie makers, the filmmakers, out of the church. And of course, they immediately turned to a humanistic opportunity. And so that was, in retrospect, a mistake.
Right, a big mistake. And then it went through the Roaring Twenties with some very negative content. By 1929, you had Ecstasy with 13 minutes of nudity and sex. You had movies like Babyface, where you had the young girl being prostituted by her father. Then the church came in again, cleaned it up, and then the Baptists pulled their funding of the Protestant Film Office in 66. The Protestant Film Office collapsed, and you went from 100% broad audience films to 82% R-rated films. You went from The Greatest Story Ever Told to the first Sex and Satanism movie 3 years later. You went from The Sound of Music to the first X-rated movie, where the Baptist pastor takes the boy up to his hotel room to get on his knees but not to pray. Oh. So you had a complete debauchery, because good people, evil will triumph when good people do nothing, and the church had retreated from the mission field.
Mm-hmm.
So many years ago, I did The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe on CBS television, where I was the head of the organization that did that, let me be clear, and we had 37 million viewers.
Wait, what do you mean on CBS television, you did The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe?
In 1979, 1980.
Why don't I remember? I remember the BBC version.
Oh, well, this was the best version. This was the animated version that had 37 million
viewers. Yeah. Thank you for reminding
beautiful.
Me. Of course, we have seven boys, Cheryl and I, and our boys, they've all read the Chronicles, and yes, I do remember. So you headed up that project?
I was the president of the organization that did that, and... they'd taken them 26 years to get that off the ground, and after it was on the air, they wanted to do a movie. I said, if it takes another 26 years, I'm going to be 60, which I was when the movie came out. I said, so how can we be more redemptive? And I found out about those old church film offices, and we started reconstructing that. And when we started, there was one movie with positive Christian content, and now there's 44%. So we've
44%? In other words, in a year, you guys rate... you give out awards. Can we talk about the awards for a moment?
We give out awards. We give out the Templeton Foundation gives us a couple of awards, a $100,000 award for movies with strong Christian content, another one for television with strong Christian, and then a great one for your audience is a $50,000 award for first-time screenwriters who have great redemptive Christian principles in their scripts. And then we give out Movie Guide Awards and others, and we get the studio heads there, but we get them there mainly to give them a report to the entertainment industry, which shows them that the good does better. For instance, last year, movies with Christian content did 43.5 million at the box office. Movies with anti-Christian content did 1.7 million. So what I'll say to them is, you can do these anti-Christian movies, but you're going to go broke doing them. Because
right. Family-friendly material is still what tens of millions of Americans want to see, and they want to go to the theater and enjoy it with their kids. Ted, when we go see, we check out movies before we go see them or rent them, of course. And when we go to the theater, we go late intentionally to miss the previews, because they have kids' movies and then seductive previews.
Yeah, terrible previews. So, and we've been trying to get them to They've done a little bit better on that. They're now having previews organized by rating. But the trouble is the ratings are goofy. We found G-rated films that are abhorrent. You know, the New York Times sort of took a slam at us and called us the most conservative faith-based review service. We're also the oldest faith-based review service.
So they took a swipe at you, which means it was a great compliment.
It's a great compliment.
It is.
I called the guy up and thanked him and said, don't throw me in that briar patch. I don't think he'd ever understood that.
No, I guess he's not familiar enough with culture. So Ted, if a family is interested in a movie and they're thinking about whether or not a movie might be appropriate for the husband and wife and their kids, what do you recommend they do?
Well, they can go to movieguide.org, read the content section carefully, because we've got a lot of, spill the beans on what's the content of the movie, whether it's the philosophy, the worldview, the foul language, etc. After doing that for many years, other people like Nielsen Ratings have come up with, they did a poll last year, the movie industry started looking to, that foul language is the thing that people hate most in movies. And now some studios have started to cut it out. Disney promised 2.5 years ago that they would do movies with action but no violence, romance but no sex, and dialogue with no foul language. And if you look at Hannah Montana this weekend, it has all of those elements. It's a 100% clean G-rated movie. And for a long time, the studios were avoiding G-rating. Now they're embracing the G-rating. The last studio to come on board was last November was Sony. And Sony came on board because of the statistics, but also because they did a little movie called Fireproof, which is their biggest profit maker of the year.
So, Ted, with movies here at Bob and Yurt Live, when we look at movies, at violence, for example, violence in movies is make-believe. Nudity is not make-believe. In fact, there was a conservative columnist years ago did the case against naked women. And it was
great,
a brilliant
great article.
Sobel, yeah. Joe Sobel. And brilliant column. And he pointed out in a movie, nudity in a movie, it's not make-believe, it's real. And even if computers today could make it make-believe, it'd still be destructive. But the point, God said, don't commit adultery. And Jesus said, if you lust in your heart, it's as though you were committing adultery. It's like the sin of adultery, because if you lust or covet, all you need is the time and opportunity, and you will commit the sin, given the time and opportunity. So movies that have sexual nudity, nudity generally, we urge Christians, don't go to those movies. Don't see those movies. It's not that it's bad for your kids. It's bad for you.
You could make the very same case on blasphemy. I'll unpack that just a little further, if you don't mind. I've been teaching this since I was head of the TV departments at City University of New York since the late 70s. And the fact of the matter is that different people have different susceptibilities. About 7 to 11% of the kids want to copy the violence in a movie. There was two prisoners that were let out today that had, when they were young, 7 and 9, they had taken a 5-year-old, took him up to their room and dropped him to see what would happen from him, and he died, and they were put in prison in California, and their lives have never recovered from it. But they thought that what they were doing was copying what they'd seen in a movie. Only a few people copy the violence. About 31% want to copy the sex they see, and there are hundreds of studies on this, and about 60% want to copy the alcohol or drugs or whatever else, because they're easier to do with less impact and less interaction with other people. So I use this little joke when I'm doing my MediaWise courses that this is why God has seven deadly sins.
Yeah.
There's seven different areas. Now, you have to grow out of those. You have to learn to deal with those.
So if you have a family,
teach their kids to be MediaWise, not to be susceptible to blasphemy, profanity, sex, violence, all of these things which are antisocial and anti-human behavior.
So, Ted Baer, movieguide.org, if you have a family of four and you're watching a real fun movie, but there's a little bit of a seductive nude scene in it, 30% of the public will be susceptible to nudity in movies. That means you're helping to undermine your family, your kids, your marriage. Right there, with those few laughs you're going to get for 90 minutes, you're helping to destroy one of your loved ones.
You've got a good take on it. It's absolutely true. And the good news is that you can teach your children to be media wise. You can help them so that they're self-regulating. You can disciple them so that they want to make wise choices. And that's the nice part about it. 74% of the young girls, according to the LA Times, do not like the sex and violence in movies, and 58% of the boys. That means the majority of the kids are on your side, so you can reach them.
Well, our church, now we did something, I don't know, Ted, you're a strong Christian. I don't know if you'd approve of this, but our whole church skipped church Sunday morning last spring, and we went to the movies to see Ben Stein's Expelled. And we just had the greatest time. You know, it was a great blessing because it was such an encouraging movie. But we avoided the previews.
We
did not. In fact, American Right to Life had a movie marathon that weekend. Its members saw every single showing of that movie, 18 showings Friday through Sunday. And so we knew that the previews were sexually immoral, seductive. It is wrong for a business or a woman to try to be seductive and to seduce someone in public. It's wrong. And so our entire church was out in the hallway waiting for the previews to end. Then we went in and saw the movie and had the greatest time.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Okay, so a couple more questions, Ted, about your special report on the Lord in the movies, Jesus Christ in the movies. And again, if you enjoy movies and you want to think about the Christian influence through the media, please go to movieguide.org to check out movies that are coming out. And also for this special report, 1897 was the first movie about the Lord that you document. And you point out something fascinating, that the Nickelodeon operators, they were selling shorts, short films. And the movies about Jesus Christ helped to change that. How so?
Well, to tell the passion story, or even one of the, you know, the smallest parts of the gospel or morality tale, took more time. William Booth was actually given a camera by Thomas Edison and was telling these wonderful, intricate morality stories at the time. And the passion stories were running, you know, three or four reels. That means they were 30 or 40 minutes, and they became the longest. They became the feature film.
The passion
plays. Actually, we can say that the modern movie came out of the stories about Jesus. Actually, modern drama all came out of the mystery plays that occurred during the Middle Ages. So the church has given birth to much of this. And if you look at it carefully, many of the inventors, like Thomas Edison, wanted to give the rights to his motion picture camera to his local presbytery, but they thought it was a toy. Imagine if they had taken those rights, what the church could have done with it. So I believe that God gives us these gifts, and we need to embrace them and start using them to get his word out.
By the way, that was Pope Pius X earlier, 1912.
Right. That's right.
Who kicked the filmmakers out of the churches, so to speak. And you point out that some movies that really have a great impact on Christians, a positive impact, and on unbelievers, were actually made by people who don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You point out Chariots of Fire and Jesus of Nazareth as two examples.
Right, and even Bill Bright worked with a good friend of mine, John Heyman, whose son David is the one who does the Harry Potter. John is Jewish. He split with Bill and was never happy about the whole thing, but he did the Jesus film, which has led more people to Christ. I was just with John about 2 months ago. He's still grumbling about the whole experience. But the fact of the matter is, even Paramount did doing this this new film. They originally were being courted by Warner Brothers, and the Warner Brothers team looked at them and said, "We're not Christian, but we're doing this because we understand that you can't give up on 2,000 years of publicity, and there's a tremendous audience out there for these films." Imagine if, you know, any of the figures from Barna to Gallup, the figures of people who are going to church or people who have a heart for Christ in our society, if they just a few of them show up for a movie, you've got a blockbuster on your hand, and that's why those movies always do better at the box office.
Wow. And we, at our home, we have a device called ClearPlay. Are you familiar with that?
I am. Yeah, we've tested it. And
it really is ingenious how it works. It enables us to share movies as a family, to get entertainment, to relax, that we wouldn't otherwise see because they're cursing the Lord Jesus Christ. Some bad guy in the middle of a movie will say something vulgar, or not only audio, but it will edit out audio and video that's inappropriate, and you're able to set it, and we do. We go through the menu, and we say we don't want any blasphemy. We don't want any, you know, immorality, no vulgarity. And so it's been a great blessing. Of course, I could see how it could, you know, I don't think people need more encouragement to watch more TV and movies in their lives. And it could do that. It could get you just re-addicted to movies. But if you use it judiciously, that's a great tool, ClearPlay.
Yeah, it is a great tool. When I tested it, I tried to test it on some films that were, filled with, it had good messages, but it had a lot of bad material in it. At some point, it was cutting out so much of the film you couldn't follow the plot line. So I don't know whether you've ever noticed that.
Well, I think there's the movie The Matrix with the scene where they go into the building and they just blow up the lobby.
And it cuts out a tremendous amount of the film.
Yeah, if you say no violence, the whole lobby scene is just not even there. It is pretty funny. But, okay, so, Ted, could we change the topic a bit? Well, I want to ask you about Rick Warren's statement this week on CNN. But before that, I'm involved with American Right to Life, and we produced a DVD called Focus on the Strategy, and that won an award in Texas, Austin, Texas. Every year, there's the Christian Independent Film Festival. Are you familiar with that effort?
Yes, I am, and I've known Doug and the whole group for a long
Doug
time.
Doug Phillips, son of...
His father, Howard, has been on our board of reference for a long time. He's a good friend. And
Howard Phillips was, in the cabinet, in the Nixon administration, I think.
Right.
Became a very strong, committed Christian.
I've always encouraged, but, when we started working in the industry, it was so bleak that everybody said you couldn't change the industry. Mm. And now we've gone that, I just had the executive VP of Fox, the executive VP of MGM, the executive VP of Disney, some of these top people come and speak at a very conservative organization, so conservative that you're checked twice before you even get into it.
Yeah.
And the first one stood up and said, I'm a conservative and I'm a Christian. They're now a group of conservatives in Hollywood, which numbers over 1,000. This is an industry where, there's only a handful of top movers and shakers and only 6 major studios. So you're talking about a lot of people. So I believe that, God calls us to go into all the world to take every thought captive for Him. The little church in the beginning didn't just hang around the temple. They were, in fact, they tried to hang around the temple. Acts 1:8, Jesus, as He's ascending, says, go into all the world, and then they hang around the temple for the next 7 chapters. And in Acts 8:1, persecution started, and they were driven into all the world, and they changed the world. They changed the Roman Empire, not through might, not through power, but through witness. And so we've seen this tremendous change. Tom Minery and some other people from different ministries, Focus on the Family, and others call me to Washington and say, how have you been so effective in this area? And it's focusing on Jesus, it's lifting up the good news, and it's doing this benchmarking, this economic analysis to say, if you want to do better, your bottom line, this is what you've got to do. You've got to reach out. And by doing that, they come to our gala, and a lot of them give thanks where you never imagine them giving thanks to Christ. In fact, Jack Templeton, Dr. Templeton, was taking notes, and he ran out of paper after the 300th comment. And soon we're going to put up all these positive comments from the head of United Artists, the head of Disney, from these studio heads talking in terms that you'd think they were going to some evangelical church in Denver. So you're seeing transformation take place, and that's because we're willing to go into the world. So I urge Doug and everybody there that you need to move out of our... We don't need to build a ghetto. We need to go into the
influence
whole
the culture. I'm sure there's room for both, Christian ministry films, but also be salt and light to the
That's
culture.
Right. That's right. And there is room for both, and we need better Christian ministry films. So I agree with you.
And Ted, the American Right to Life film, DVD, Focus on the Strategy, was a film finalist there. last year, and I'd love to send that to you.
Send me a copy of it.
I'd like to do that. It has to do with the strategy on how to end abortion. But the last question about Rick Warren this week on CNN's Larry King Live, of course, author of The Purpose-Driven Life. He's the pastor of a megachurch, and he said he is apologizing to homosexuals for supporting California's Defense of Marriage, Proposition 8. It seems that this is how far we have fallen, that leading Christians no longer understand right from wrong, that homosexuality is more destructive to our nation, to our youth, even than Islamic terrorism. It's one of the most destructive things. And here we have Christians wanting to tolerate and accept that kind of sinful, destructive lifestyle.
Well, he's wrong on a lot of counts. And, you know, as one theologian pointed out in the 1830s, the government has no 1830s, if you didn't catch me saying that, that the marriage belongs in the church. It is ordained by God, you know, God the Father. It is presided over by Jesus, and it's sustained by the Holy Spirit. It has nothing to do with the state. And Christian marriage is totally different from any other form of marriage. I mean, in Judaism, you could have a bill of divorce. In Islam, women are treated like chattel. In Buddhism, you didn't even have marriages until the church came along. So what you have is the state trying to get involved in a church matter that they do not deserve to be there.
Well, the state of Massachusetts, Ted, in their Goodridge, their Supreme Court Goodridge opinion, they said that civil marriage is the creation of the state. And I thought, what? What? When the pilgrims came over, there was no state there that had created their marriage.
And total lie.
It's the creation of Jesus Christ.
And we must be educated. And, you know, poor Rick, because he evidently has not read any of the Marshall Foster's or David Barton's or anybody's writings who has any consciousness of the history of this country. And he doesn't know the history of the church, because this is a God-ordained institution. And God ordains that it's going to be a man and a woman. That's the way he designed them, Adam and Eve. So it is very clear, male and female. Jesus said you should be joined together for procreation, to produce children within a family under a structure that God gives us. He says the dogs in Revelation 15, he said, then the dogs referred to the homosexuals and the sexually immoral will not get into the kingdom of heaven. So if Rick really loved these people, he would stop lying to them, and he would start saying, look, the dogs are not going to get into the kingdom of heaven, but you can get into the kingdom of heaven by repenting of your sins and turning to Christ, who is waiting to forgive you your sins so that you can have eternal life with him in the kingdom of God.
Amen. And that's one of the things, Ted, I love about your ministry. You are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, even your report on the Lord in the movies will, if somebody's not a Christian and they pay close attention and the Holy Spirit moves them in their heart, they could become a Christian reading your report on the movies. So thank you for being such a hero for the gospel.
You're welcome, and have a great day, Bob. Thank you so much.
You too, on this Good Friday. That's Ted Baer, movieguide.org. movieguide.org, and if you're considering a movie, if you'd like to read this report, you could print it out, you could read it right on your computer screen, Jesus Christ in the Movies. I think you'll love it. Maranatha Christian Center, what a great school. And our website is kgov.com. Boy, we need your help to keep fighting. If you'd like to go to our store, check out our Bible study materials.